Yes, it is. O Lord, Thee I love with all my heart. And today, Tuesday, March the 11th, in the year of our Lord, 2014, Law and Gospel is going to speak about this with two co-hosts, myself, Pastor Tom Baker, and my friend, Pastor Mark Smith. Good morning, Mark.
Hi, Tom. How you doing this beautiful spring or late winter day?
Yeah, didn't they say it's going up to 80?
Oh, I'll tell you. I'll take it.
Well, tomorrow's 40.
I know. That's what I hear. Supposed to get some snow?
Yeah, well, they should get snow because the sidewalk outside still has salt on it, and we don't want to waste the salt.
I'll waste the salt. I'll take the nice weather.
Has it had an impact on your worship services, the snow?
Oh, yes. Yeah, there were two services we had to cancel.
Really?
Yeah, two.
Yes. Wow.
Yeah, that takes its toll.
Yes, it sure does. But hopefully you're back now. And I was fortunate. I didn't cancel any services, even though I was driving 3 hours sometimes.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Those people over in Illinois, they're pretty hardy. You know, they'll shovel and plow through it, and they'll come out for church.
Yeah, there was a gentleman, Fairfield, Illinois. He goes ahead, and boy, he does a good job in taking off all the ice and such. Although, with the possibility of slipping, one day I went in the front door of the church instead of the side door.
Yeah, right.
Because it's kind of a little slippery
boy,
there.
It can be treacherous.
A lot of fun. All right. What we're doing here, of course, is taking a look at the hymn that is assigned for the second Sunday in Lent. And are you preaching this Sunday?
Yes.
Okay.
No, I take that back. Not this Sunday.
Oh.
No.
Do you ever preach anymore? So far, I can't remember the last time.
We have got the first vice president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, the Reverend Dr. Herb Miller, is going to be preaching in our church as we celebrate the 50th anniversary of our charter.
Wow.
He is preaching. And we're having Todd Wilkin at a dinner afterward.
Oh, that's nice.
Yes. So it's a special day. I am preaching tomorrow night, Wednesday.
Not Ash Wednesday.
No. Second
Wednesday in
Wednesday
Lent.
Of Lent.
That's right. Do you use the previous week's readings for that Wednesday? Or
no.
The...
No.
Oh.
We're doing a series on the Lord's Prayer.
That's right. Yes. Yeah, yesterday on Issues, Etc., I did the gospel about Jesus going to Nicodemus. And then I also, on Monday, did Romans 4. Abraham was justified by works. No, he was not. He was justified by faith, through faith. And so we talked about that. But yesterday on Issues, Etc., I had a lot of fun in taking a look at that. A lot of people get John 3:16 kind of confused. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. It's the idea of so loved.
Why is that confusing? I mean, he loved him so much that he gave up his son.
Yeah. You see, a lot of people think that the so refers to the idea of quantity. That's how much love he had toward us.
Oh, I see. Uh-huh.
Yeah, but
well,
it's not.
Clear that up for us.
Yeah, the Greek word means, for he loved in this manner, instead of so.
Huh.
He no showed
kidding.
His...
I don't know if I've ever realized that.
No, I hadn't either until I did a study on it. And so...
I always took that to mean that, you know, he loved us so much.
I know.
Because it's this world of lost sinners that he gave his son. That's how much he loved us.
No, but, in fact, I found it in the Sunday school lesson itself. Randy Asbury is the writer for the lessons for this time.
He's very good.
Oh, he's excellent. You know, he was on KFUO at a time
right,
in the early
morning right.
show. And he was making the point that the Greek there means in this manner. You want to know how much God loved you? He gave his only son. And so, once more, the focus is on Jesus being given to us, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So that's really kind of good. Also, when Jesus says, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. I found something else there.
Tell me that.
You see, we're not sure what word Jesus used for born
what?
Again.
Born again, you're right.
Because he spoke probably Aramaic. And the New Testament, a lot of people don't realize, is a translation into
right.
the Greek.
That's right.
From what Jesus
right.
spoke. But the Greek word used there is very interesting. It's not born again but it's born from above.
Born from above. Yes, I've heard that distinction made before.
And that's really important. Jesus says, unless one is born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And the point I was making, that's a law gospel thing, that God is the one who has to give you birth. That birth has to come from above.
Yes.
And so...
Well, you know, the seminary logo is, or the seal is the light from above.
Yes. Yeah, in fact, if you look up above, it's a whole bunch of times that it's found. And it contrasts heaven with the world. From above is from heaven, and the world is from below. You know, it just really makes a difference. But let's get to the hymn. Would you read the first stanza? And this is a long stanza.
It's a law stanza, the first one.
A long one, too.
A long one, okay.
Yes.
Enunciate, Tom.
Yes, okay.
Lord, thee I love with all my heart. I pray thee ne'er from me depart. With tender mercy cheer me. Earth has no pleasure I would share. Yea, heaven itself were void and bare, if thou, Lord, wert not near me. And should my heart for sorrow break, my trust in thee can nothing shake. Thou art the portion I have sought. Thy precious blood my soul has bought. Lord Jesus Christ, my God and Lord, my God and Lord, forsake me not, I trust thy word. Again, this is hymn 708.
Well, depends what hymnal you're in.
Right.
We're taking a look at this, written by Martin Schilling, who died in 1608, and then translated by my favorite translator, Catherine Winkworth. She really translates a lot of the hymns into English, because, of course, this was done originally in German. In fact, I was reading, believe it or not, Karl Barth last night on the Commentary to Romans. And before I read it, I read the translator's preface. And he was making some very good points. And in fact, he quoted a scholar who said that anytime you translate into English, you lose a lot.
Well, you know, that's one reason why, you know, our forefathers, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, they wanted to keep it all in German, you know, for a long time.
For a long time, yeah. Because, you see, you can do things in German. You can just start hyphenating words to make a new word.
Yes, anybody that's read German knows what,
talking about. And so the translator gave a number of examples in the preface that he couldn't figure out what English word would fit best. And he said, because the nuances are so different in the German and such. And so that's one of the reasons why I always like to refer back to the Greek, like we just did with John 3:16. Taking a look at the Greek from above, whoever thinks of that, and rather than God so loved in the sense how big his love was, no, he loved in this manner. He gave his only son. So it's talking about what he did, not how much he did. It really does make a difference. So the Greek is really critical here. I'm going to ask you this question. Are you a poor, miserable sinner? Do you confess that?
Yes, absolutely.
Well, the title of this is Lord, Thee I Love with All My Heart. So if we're poor, miserable sinners, and we also have with our corrupt heart, how can we sing this hymn that we love the Lord with all my heart?
Well, let's see. That kind of reminds me of, Psalm 51. Psalm 51.
That's right.
Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I'll be whiter than snow. It talks about...
And create...
Create in me a clean heart,
yes.
O God, and renew a right spirit within me. So God has done this. He's done this with his Holy Spirit all the way from baptism.
If we go over to Romans 7, what you're saying then is every Christian has a new man and an old Adam.
That's right.
The new man is the heart that loves God totally.
Yeah, the good that I want to do, that's what I prefer to do, but
yes.
I can't seem to bring it through.
And so he finally ends up saying, who can deliver me?
Yeah.
And I thank Jesus Christ who has, which gets right back to the birth is from above.
Right.
You see, this is a huge understanding from above. Because a lot of churches that don't baptize infants believe that baptism is your choice, your action.
That you're doing something for God.
That's right.
To confess him.
That's right. That's right.
That's not it at all. It's pure gospel.
No.
It's from him.
It's from him.
From God.
And it's done in such a way that God gets all the credit. Is that correct?
Absolutely. He deserves all the credit.
Because, this is my favorite question, why everyone is really a Lutheran who's a Christian. When you go to heaven, to whom will you give all the credit to for your salvation?
Absolutely, Jesus Christ.
Everybody, Roman Catholics say it, Baptists say it, Methodists say it, Lutherans say it. And then I turn around and I say, oh, okay, then why do you think you have to invite him into your heart?
That's right.
Yeah, or why?
He's entered my heart.
Yeah, that's right.
Through baptism already.
That's correct. So it is really dangerous to be against the sacraments.
Oh, yeah. Oh, boy. That's, you know, that's a great part of the means of grace. You've got the gospel, of course, but
you cut out the
Lord's Supper and baptism, and that's
you take away two
means of grace.
You take away your assurance.
That's right.
You see, this is what's so beautiful about the Reformation, the Lutheran Reformation. The assurance wasn't on the basis of your good works. You couldn't look to your works and say, well, I'm really doing good. I must be a believer. And it wasn't on the basis of your faith, because how often is our faith weak?
That's right. It's God's promises.
Connected to the sacraments of baptism and Lord's Supper.
Exactly, right.
So when you ask a Christian, if you were to die today, would you go to heaven? And they say, I hope so. That's heresy.
Yeah, that's sure not the full promise,
the
full assurance that God wants us to have on the basis of his word. He wants us to be that's the whole point. That's Lutheranism. We want our people to be absolutely assured of their salvation and not just, if I do enough or that sort of
thing.
That's
right. And what did you say it was on the basis of?
On the basis of God's promises.
Yes, his word, you say.
Yeah, right.
Read the last phrase in the first stanza.
Last phrase, first stanza. Let me see. I trust thy word. Lord my God, forsake me not, I trust thy word.
Forsake me not, I trust thy word.
Right, that's right. We cling to his word.
We don't say, forsake me not, I obey your commandments.
Right.
Or forsake me not, I'm an officer in the church or a pastor.
We cling to his promises with absolute assurance.
I know some students going through the seminary. One of the reasons they want to become a pastor, they want to be more sure they're going to heaven.
I know a guy struggle at the seminary. Remember how you struggled at the seminary?
No.
You don't remember that at all?
No. What was that?
Well, then you're not a good theologian. Remember, it's prayer, meditation, and struggle makes a theologian.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Anfechtung. Now you remember struggling, right?
Well, I use the German word, anfechtung. You know, I don't know what the English is.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's Luther's triumphant.
What was it? Tentatio, meditatio, and oratio.
Yeah, yeah. And they translate as?
Tentatio, struggle, I think, right? Yeah. Meditatio is meditation.
Study, meditation.
And oratio is prayer.
Prayer.
Right.
Yeah, very good. Let me read verse 2. Yea, Lord, 'twas thy rich bounty gave my body, soul, and all I have in this poor life of labor. Lord, grant that I in every place may glorify thy lavish grace and help and serve my neighbor. Let no false doctrine me beguile, let Satan not my soul defile. Give strength and patience unto me to bear my cross and follow thee, Lord Jesus Christ. Christ, my God and Lord, in death thy comfort still afford. Now, one of the things from stanza one that's kept here, heaven itself would be empty for a lot of people if they don't think their wife's going to be there or their children are going to be there. But this hymn doesn't say that, does it?
No.
Why is heaven going to be empty if who's not there?
If Christ.
Yes.
If Christ is not there.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I want to be where Christ is.
If thou, Lord, were not near me. Yeah.
That's right.
Heaven is bare.
That's right.
So
there's a lot, you know, there's a lot we don't know about what we call the intermediate state. That's the time between our death and the last day.
Judgment day, yeah.
But you know what? I don't care what it is. I don't care where it is. If Christ is there, that's good enough for me. I want to be where my Lord Jesus is.
Well, Stephen says the same words that Jesus did on the cross when he was being stoned.
Yeah,
you remember that?
Into thy
hands I commit my spirit.
Yeah, that's familiar. Let's see. Where did he get that?
Got it right from the cross.
From the cross.
Yes.
Exactly.
And, you know, it's one of the trick questions I have a lot of times with audiences. I says...
I know you love trick questions.
Oh, I love them.
You love to shock people and to trick people.
Where was Jesus during the 3 days his body was in the grave? I was like asking that.
I would say the 3 days he was in the grave. Well, he was with his, he told the thief on the cross,
right,
you'll be with me in paradise.
That's
we have
right.
to assume he was in paradise.
Jesus' death was the same as a human being's death.
That's right.
The spirit goes to heaven.
That's
the body
right.
goes into the grave.
That's right.
And so we don't really believe in the sense that the person of Jesus was risen from the dead. We believe the body of Jesus was risen from the dead.
Right. Right.
And so we have
His body and spirit
yes.
came back together
reunited,
with his resurrection.
Yes. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So that the whole Jesus.
Right.
Both body and spirit and divine and human.
That's right.
Was all in front of the disciples.
Absolutely.
Now, I would say that stanza 2 is more of a sanctification item, because it talks about, in this poor life of labor, grant that I in every place may glorify thy lavish grace and help and serve my neighbor. This is really important, because why do we do good works? We don't do good works to help our neighbor. We do good works to glorify God.
That's right. That is right. Yes.
And,
well, let's see. Say that again.
Yes.
We don't do good works to help our neighbor.
That's not the primary motivation.
That's not the primary motive. But of course, we do want to help our neighbor, genuinely.
But for the purpose of glorifying God.
Right, right.
We
let
want...
our light so shine before men that they may see our good works and give glory to our Father in heaven.
And how does that happen? I've given this example many a time when that great wave came over the land in
the tsunami.
Yeah, the tsunami.
Lutherans
went in there and started helping the people.
That's
building
right.
homes, giving them food, clothing, and they said, why are you doing this? And it gave the opportunity to share the message.
Uh-huh.
In fact, I had a broadcast where I said, when we do good works, we should try and do them that are in a unique and surprising way. So somebody asked us, why are you doing this? Because it's contrary to what they're used to. And then we get the opportunity to speak about, you know, Jesus.
Right.
Type of thing. People are always more open to hearing you when they're receiving undeserved gifts. Like when we go to Haiti, you know, with all the disaster.
Right, with
that
the earthquake that struck there.
Yeah.
Right.
And we're bringing food. We've actually had little churches spring up here
right.
and there.
Well, that's a place that needs ongoing help, certainly. Haiti.
So the more we love the Lord, then the more we want to care for the neighbor for the purpose of getting the neighbor also to glorify God. Jesus, can you think of anything he did that wasn't at the bottom to glorify his Father?
I can't think of anything.
No, nothing. Everything he did
always
was to glorify.
Always to do the Father's will and to give glory to
him. And that's why the Father said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am
well pleased.
Well pleased, and therefore listen to him. So this second stanza, let Satan not my soul defile, give strength and patience unto me to bear my cross and follow thee. So the cross here doesn't necessarily refer to any kind of suffering. It really refers to getting, how shall we put it, blasted for standing up for Jesus.
Right, right. It's not just, it's not just something that we suffer, but it's something that we suffer distinctly because we're following our Savior.
Yes. For example, I don't know if you read the Saturday night's Post-Dispatch.
Yes.
Front page, Lutheran
yes.
outreach draws criticism from Jewish groups.
Right.
And
right.
we're trying to work, that's Pastor Parbee.
Absolutely. Good friend of mine.
Yeah.
Good man.
We're working on trying to get him in tomorrow.
Oh, he'll be excellent.
Yeah. So I'll be interviewing him on this. But I'm going to go in a little different direction. I don't want to say what it is right now. But this is becoming more and more common where Christians operating properly. What was that noise?
I don't know.
Yeah, these microphones just kind of flop back.
They have a life
back.
Of their own, don't they?
They do. Where Christians are getting persecuted again and again for just simply doing what Christians do.
Yeah.
Share the message. And so we're going to talk about that. I'm going to pick his brain as to this, because he's really involved in that, both from a Jewish point of view and then also. In fact, my good friend Dr. James Lamb, former field worker of mine who's now head of Lutherans for Life.
Right.
I don't know if you realize this, but the devotions in Portals of Prayer were by him.
By him.
The whole month.
Yes, I remember that.
And they were excellent. Those devotions were criticized by people for allowing politics to come into the devotions.
No kidding.
Yes. As though the pro-life position is a political position and not a divine position. It just was really ridiculous, you know?
Oh, yeah.
But you have to understand that there's a lot more people that read the Portals of Prayer than just faithful Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod people.
Right, that's right.
Yeah, sometimes they're unfaithful Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod people, or folks from ELCA, the pro-abortion synod and such. So there's a perfect example where you stand up for the Word of God and you get criticized.
Sure.
Yeah. By the way,
we can expect that.
Yeah, if you enjoyed The Portals of Prayer by Dr. James Lamb, write Concordia Publishing House and encourage them to have him back again, because he's very, very good. He's got great insights there. By the way, he's retiring or wishes to retire at the end of next year. So they're looking for somebody else for the executive director of Lutherans for Life. Would you read... I don't know if even I should ask you this. Stanza 3, do you want to sing it or do you want to read it?
Oh, I'll tell you. You can hardly read this without thinking how it sounds.
In fact, as you read it, it sounds like you're singing it.
Yeah, right. Lord, let at last thine angels come to Abram's bosom, bear me home, that I may die unfearing, and in its narrow chamber keep my body safe in peaceful sleep until thy reappearing. And then from death awaken me, that these mine eyes with joy may see, O Son of God, thy glorious face, my Savior and my fount of grace. Lord Jesus Christ, my prayer attend, and I will praise thee without end.
So this hymn is under the section of trust, faith, so that the writer... I absolutely believe that on the last day, the angels will come and take him to heaven, and that he will die unfearing.
And he'll see God's glorious face.
Yes. See, that's really critical, because no one can see God and live. Even Moses on Mount Sinai, he only saw the backside of God.
This mortal must put on immortality.
Yes.
First.
And it's only then, and then you get what Job said. I know my Redeemer.
I know that my Redeemer lives, and he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God.
Yeah, with my
own
eyes.
And my own eyes. My own eyes will behold him.
Yeah.
The same eyes that were in my sockets.
That's right.
Before I died, yeah.
That absolutely shows that even in the Old Testament, they believed in a resurrection
from
the dead.
Absolutely, you bet.
And that it was going to be a body that you're going to have
heaven. That's right. Glorified body.
Different than the angels who only have spirits.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be like Jesus with a glorified body and with the ability to be able to see him.
Yes.
So there's so much to talk about during Lent. Why don't you tell us the time of your services Wednesday and then this coming weekend?
Yes. Wednesday it's 7 p.m. is the service. And we keep it at a reasonable length to get the kids home at a decent hour, you know.
So 7:05, it's over?
No. about 35, 40 minutes, not longer. And then Sunday, of course, we're having our special order of service at 9 a.m. And again, we'll have First Vice President Herb Miller from the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod will be preaching. And then at 12:30, that's when the doors open, at Orlando's, we're going to be having a special dinner.
Oh, wow.
Dinner celebrating our Charter Sunday. And there we'll have Reverend Todd Wilkin from
Issues, Etc.
He'll be speaking.
Well, that sounds pretty
still,
good.
And there's still tickets available if anybody would like to come. We'd welcome any friends of the congregation.
How do they phone?
We phone our church office, area code 314-843-8448. That number is 843-8448. That'll get my secretary, or my office manager, actually.
You have an office manager?
I have an office manager, yes. Melanie Goldstein, yes.
Wow.
Yeah. And she'll do an excellent job of helping you with tickets.
That sounds good. The tickets are for the worship service? You got to
no,
pay
the
to
tickets
go?
Are for the dinner.
Yes, I know.
Yes. Okay. Everything else is free. And we have subsidized a lot of those tickets. You're getting a great meal for a real reasonable price.
White Castles? Really?
No, no, no.
No. Oh, nuts. Well, I was going to come if it was White Castles. All righty. That was Pastor Mark Smith. We certainly thank him. And as I indicated, for tomorrow's Law and Gospel, we are going to be talking about what was in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, an article entitled Lutheran Outreach Draws Criticism from Jewish Groups. And it's an outreach of a Jewish Lutheran church.
Yes.
And he's our
Kevin
pastor.
Parvey.
Yeah. And you know him well.
Oh, yeah.
So hopefully we may have him on with us. We'll see. I'm Tom Baker. Thanks so much for listening. Until tomorrow, then, God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel on Worldwide KFUO. You can write Pastor Baker at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. Or email lawgospel@lawgospel.com. We are the messenger of good news, KFUO.